Okay. So now that we've established what the Iker Tachlis Achaim is, that it's Kirvas Hashem, the essence of life, is this closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'keitzad nira be'erech tzuras chayim shel adam shedavok b'kono. And ultimately, again, what life looks like, what the tzura of life looks like when one has this dveikos in Hashem. Shedveikos zuhi einena nekuda ketana b'chayim. This concept of dveikos, this concept of connectedness, is not a small detail in life. Elo kol chayi ha'adam heim b'mahalik shalis kashos ba'akadosh baruch hu. But right, the entirety of life is, the essence of life, is this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, I will say, right now, all we've just done is just saying what we've established, what have we accomplished until this point in time? Not like an esoteric question or an existential question. What have we learned so far in the first 37 chapters of this? So to condense it all into one line, so we've learned the idea that the essence of life is Dveikos Bashem. The essence of life ultimately, again, is this connection and the sense of connectedness with the Ribono Shel Olam. We've also discovered that I don't really have to go ahead and create connectedness because that connection already exists. I just somehow have to discover it. What we've also identified is that this concept of Dveikos is not just simply a small detail in man's life, but rather, again, is truly the entirety of one's existence. Okay, now that we've established that, Ata Mutal Al Ha'adam Levarer, La'atzmo, ha'im hu rotze lachios b'tzura zu. And I will say, here's the interesting question. So now that we've established that Dveikos is important, now that we've established that Dveikos is attainable, because the truth is we're really already in a state of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just the difficulty is that sometimes we don't realize it. The real fundamental question is, do we actually want a life of Dveikos Bashem? Is that what we truly desire? He says, "Oh, shamanoach lo lahamshich lachios bechayim shel dimyon shenirim lo kechayim shketim b'litirdas hadveikus kiviyachol." Or the truth is, maybe we're happy with life as it is. So this is a fundamental question: do I need a life of dveikos, or at the end of the day, am I just happy with the way my life is? Just things are okay as they are.
This is different than the rutzon that he mentioned before. Before we start, we have to establish whether we have a rutzon. This is a different...
That is correct. Meaning that what he's saying now is, Lemaisa, I could have a ratzon, but the shayla is, am I really ready to put in the effort? I mean, let me say it differently. A person could say, I have a ratzon to have a Dveikos Bashem, because who doesn't want Dveikos Bashem? I mean, no one's going to say, I don't have a ratzon for that. The shayla now is, though, do I really feel that something is lacking in my life? Or am I pretty much just kind of happy with the way things are? I don't really feel any type of real chisaron in my existence. He says, "On shama noach lo lahamshich lachios chayim shel dimyon shenirim lo kechayim shketim b'loy tirdas hadveikus kviyachol." The truth is, you know, sometimes the truth is, a person, you know, you ever have a day like this where, you know, you're coming home from a stressful day and you see like the landscaper, you know, outside, and he's riding on his tractor mower, and you say to yourself, you know, that looks like a really good job. Looks like a really good job. You know, you get on there, you put on whatever, you put on your earphones, you just go back and forth. At the end of the day, you look like you've accomplished something. The lawn looks nicely manicured. All right, the pay might not be that great, or the benefits might not be that great. But Lamaisa, like a guy like that looks really happy. The big trade-off we have in life is that if you're a person who wants to accomplish a lot, it creates a certain amount of life anxiety because you feel then you're not doing enough, you feel you could be doing better, as opposed to sometimes if a person settles for mediocrity. So if you look at people, we all know people settle for mediocrity. Very often they appear very happy and content, very mediocre, but very happy and content, kind of wallowing in mediocrity. It doesn't look so bad. Whereas other people who are constantly trying to grow and to push and to do more, like their kishkas are always in a knot because there's always this to do, there's always that to do. I haven't accomplished enough, I need to accomplish more. So the mechapas, you know, person has to ask themselves a serious question. Because to have a life of Dveikos Bashem is going to have tirda, is going to have angst, and it's going to have anxiety, and it's going to require work, and it's going to require avoda. So a person has to ask themselves, you know, maybe I'm the kind of person who the truth is quite content without tirda, excuse me, without tveikos. Not because I don't care about tveikos. Tveikos is important, but the truth is, like, I'm not looking to complicate my life. Let's say, you should know, Klal Gadol is, the reason why a large swath of humanity settles for mediocrity is not because people don't want something more. It's that people are not interested in being in a constant state of anxiety. People would much rather take it easy. People would much rather be relaxed. People would much rather have, you know, just a little bit of free time. Because if once a person gets, and Mechaber's preparing this, once you get into the model of Dveikos Bashem, Tveikos Bashem requires like a constant vigilance and a constant effort and constant work, and that's not an easy life to lead. So a person has to ask themselves, do I really want a Tveikos Bashem, or am I kind of happy just with my quiet life? I'll call Adam va'adam levar la'atzmo ha'im be'emes hu me'unyon lios tavok ba'kadosh baruch hu kol yamav. A person has to ask themselves, am I really interested in having a sense of Dveikos HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of my days? In Birer HaAdam La'atzmo V'rotzeh B'kach Ashrav. Well, so it's a very, just, you should know, like this Nekuda here, you know, Rav Soloveitchik wrote a very important book called Lonely Man of Faith. And in it, the Rav discusses just about what it means to be a ma'am, what it means to have a muna. And in the introduction, he says, he begins with three words. The three words are, I am lonely. I am lonely. That's the Rav writes. So he says, you may think I'm lonely. Why am I lonely? I have a family. I have Talmidim. I'm lonely because when a person is a mevakesh, and a person is always growing, and a person is always doing, so a person also realizes that in a davar tali elabi, that my success in life is not dependent on anyone else, it's only dependent on me and how much effort I put in. And the truth is, that could be an isolating and lonely feeling for an individual. So the Mechaber is saying over here is, the trade-off we often make in life is between meaning and comfort. Meaning and comfort. Because living a life of meaning, which he's defining over here as a life of dveikos, very often creates internal anxiety. Because I feel I'm not doing enough, I need to do more. Whereas a life kind of mediocrity, I don't mean mediocrity like a person is not doing anything, but a person doesn't push themselves. So very often, you know, life is comfortable, and life is quiet, and life is okay. So he says the person has to ask themselves, what do they want? In Bira Adam La'atzmo V'rotzeh B'kach Ashrav, if a person decides they want a life of dveikos, wonderful, praise the praiseworthy. V'im birar v'adayin hinu roesh she'ino rotzeh, hu tzarech lispalal al-kach la'kadosh baruch hu she'yazar la'alertov z'chaim amitiyim, she'yazar, turn the page, she'yazar la'alotes min chayi hefker, sh'nirim kechayim, v'l'ratzos li'kanis chayim amitiyim. So let's listen to this. If a person says, I want a life of dveikos, shkoyach, good. If a person says, no, you know what? The truth is, I don't need the extra stress, right? I don't need the extra anxiety. I'm kind of happy where things are. So you would expect him to say, okay, you know what? So no, what do you have to do? If that's what you think, you have to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give you the wisdom to realize you're wrong. You know? So there's no meaning. This is an incredible yisod. For the Jew, the truth is, there is no choice of like meaning or mediocrity. There's only one choice. No, it's meaning. It's meaning. The only question is, can I self-motivate and get there myself? Or do I need to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help motivate and inspire me to get there? It's an incredible yisod. Mediocrity, the truth is not an option. Is not an option. Now, the truth is, this is an overwhelming idea for many people. It is, because some people see this idea and they say, well, you know what? What it means is, no, I actually had this conversation with someone a few weeks ago, where they were telling me, you know, Rabbi, you always talk about you have to do more, you have to be more. And the person said, you know what, like, I'm happy with where I am. Like, I think I do pretty good. I know I could do more. But it's hard for me to always hear the message, you have to do more, you have to be more, because then I feel like I'm never going to accomplish. I said, okay, so, you know, meaning that's just some things in life. It's just, that's the way that it is. And that's the anxiety piece of Yiddishkeit. The anxiety that the truth is, no matter how much I do, the reality is, no matter how much I do, there's always more. And no matter how much I do, it's only the tip of the iceberg. And that can create anxiety, because it's no matter how much I push myself and how much I do, there's so much more to do and accomplish. That's a life of dveikus. So a person might say, well, no, thank you. We don't have that option. Mediocrity is not an option. If a person can't self-inspire, dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him ultimately to help you. You know, in Chassidus, there's a concept of his orusa de la'ila and his orusa de la tasa. There's inspiration from above, de la'ila, or inspiration de la tusa from below. What's the pshat? Rabbi Levi Skarbetishev explains that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers shefa. Shefa, you know, the Rebbe says that shefa is divine energy. Divine energy is parav. It's parav. You know, there's a Gemara Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says, quoting from Koheles, Bechol esiyu begadech levanim. Your clothing has to be white at all times, which means that a person has to be in a constant state of preparedness. So very often that statement is used more like in a death context. You never know when your time here is going to be up. So just always make sure you have your affairs in order. So Levi Yitzchak Abediv says it's not meant as a death concept. It's meant as a life-affirming concept. Listen to what he says. He says that every single day HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down Shefa, sends down divine energy. What's the chap with Shefa? That Shefa's parif, it's energy. And whatever state that Shefa finds you in, it propels you in that state. So meaning, if you go ahead and you get the Shefa and you're engaged in mitzvos, right, it sends you in the right direction. If Chas HaShalom, I get the Shefa and I'm engaged in Averos, it gives me more strength and more chizuk to do Averos. So it's energy, but it's parif. It all depends what state you get in. The Rebbe says, so what's the great variable of life? The great variable of life is, you never know when the Shefa is going to come. So because of that, b'chol eis yu begadecha levanim. I have to ask myself that if I'm doing this, if I were to get my Shefa right now, what would it propel me to do? That's the pshat. So it's not telling you just be prepared for death. That's morose. Truth is, it's morose. It's depressing. We don't really think that way, but rather it's preparing me for life. So this idea, that's a life of dveikus. A life of dveikus, constant connection, constant divine awareness, constant ultimately readiness for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and constant readiness for the Shefa. So he says again, thank you. He says, skip the so go to paragraph Lamites. Ninasa the Karve Sa'adam Lakash, Shir Tilios Karva Dabak HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's assume right now that we're not going to go around the table and take a vote, but let's assume now that we're all in. Right, we're all signed up for Dveikus, and we're coming back week after week. So the assumption is, either we just want to see what the end of this is going to be, or again, the assumption is we're committed. Okay, we all want Dveikus. Now, again, on both sides, remember, saying I want Dveikus doesn't erase the doubts in my mind of could I actually really accomplish this or not, and I'm still a normal person, quote unquote. You know, normalcy is very relative. Right, normalcy standards are established by me. Right, I am the, you know, I'm the midpoint on the normal scale. You know, so I'm still a normal person. I still have a life. I don't learn all day. I don't do mitzvahs all day. I'm involved in a lot of other things. So I want this dveikos, but remember, we're still not clear exactly how to integrate full time dveikos into a life that has many mundane parts. We haven't gotten to that yet. But let's assume right now, for our purposes of this lima, that all of us ideally want that perpetual state of dveikos. Kol echad me'itanu yodea sheyavol yom v'hu ya'azov es ha'olam hazeh. So what happens? We all know that the day will come when we will leave this world. The day will come when we leave. Sof kala adam l'misa. The end of all man is for death. V'hine kol echad rotze la'acher misa so lehinatzel min gehenem. U'lezakos began edem. I'll tell you, you know, just as I had a levaya today, and they say that, you know, the greatest mussar in life is when you hear that sound of the first shovelful of dirt hit the aron, hit the casket. Like, that's the sound of finality. That's the sound, and that's a sound that ultimately, again, everybody experiences. Which, again, contemplation of mortality is exceptionally important, because if you contemplate your mortality, then you realize that life is a finite, non-renewable resource. If life is a finite, non-renewable resource, then you have to make sure to maximize every moment to the best of your ability. So we all know that death comes. We know that death comes. And part of our goal is to lead a meaningful life in this world. And hope is that by leading a meaningful life in this world, what happens? I pave the way for a, you know, as they say, a lichtige Gan Eden. I pave the way for a beautiful afterlife. Watch this. V'hineh, he says, So we'll say, you know, what's interesting is, all right, so we all want Olam Haba, we all want Gan Eden. So what exactly do you do in Gan Eden? Like, what's the schedule of activities in Gan Eden? You ever think about it? Like, what, you know, you're going to spend, hopefully, eternity, and my Hashem is going to spend, hopefully, I mean, the alternative is not good. So let's assume right now we're going to Gan Eden. So what do you do for an eternity in Gan Eden? Kasav HaRamchal, Bereish Sifra Mesilas Yesharim, that Ramchal writes, a person was created to literally celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to derive benefit from his Shechinah. And what are you doing? What do you do all day in Gan Eden? You're nana. You derive benefit from the essence of the Shechinah. Yotze, in other words, what do we call that? What do we call that? Tvekos. So essentially, Gan Eden is one eternal period of Dveikos. One eternal period of Dveikos. He says, Yotze, She'im Adam Eino Davak Ba Kadosh Baruch Hu Be'emes. Therefore, it turns out that if a person does not really have Dveikos with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, Gan Began Eden Ein Harbe Ma La'asos. Both say, there are not too many extracurricular activities in Gan Eden. There's pretty much one thing on the schedule, and it's Dveikos. Which, if you think about it, by the way, for honest, sometimes it's like a little bit overwhelming, because like, I know I'm supposed to say that sounds great, you know, sounds wonderful, but it's hard for us to relate to that very often because we have not necessarily experienced full-fledged Dveikos in Olam Hazeh. So I have this idea of this eternal Dveikos in the afterlife, and I know I'm supposed to be excited about it, but I can't really get myself all that much revved up about it because have I really experienced it here? So perhaps some people will say, Gan Eden Amiti in Yano, Dveikos B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'im Adam Eino Rotze Dveikos B'Borichas Shalom, Maya Asa B'Gan Eden. So if a person is uninterested in Dveikos, so then what is a person going to do in Gan Eden? So, okay, let's ask, I have a cheshbon. What's my cheshbon? Look, in this world, I'm going to enjoy this world, but mamish for Gan Eden, I'm all about the Dveikos. I'm all about the Dveikos. Here, I'm going to, you know, enjoy a little bit, not God forbid, like in a sinful or excessive way, but you know, my focus in Olam Hazeh is Olam Hazeh. In Olam Haba, I'm all about the Dveikos then. And when I leave this world, that's when I'm going to be interested in Dveikos. Listen to this. Shezu machshavas hevel. That is a ridiculous thought. Shekvar kasvu b'svar makdoshim. Shehechan shemachshavto. Listen to this. This is an amazing statement. Shehechan shemachshavto b'livo shal adam kavuim ba'olam hazeh. Kein mamish yeh ba'olam haba. Rabbi saying, Olam haba is a mirror image of my olam hazeh. Wherever my thoughts are in this world, whatever my orientation is in this world, that will be the same orientation I have in the world to come. Nimtza. By the way, that goes back. There's the whole concept of the Baal Shem Tov, of Hashem Tzilcha, Al Yad Minach Hashem Tzilcha, the Baal Shem Tov says, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shadow. So there is this idea, first of all, it's the idea of divine reciprocity, that what I do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam reciprocates, but also this idea of reciprocity with Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, that the life I lead in this world very much is mirrored in my existence in the world to come. Keimam Sheb Olam Haba, Nimtza, Therefore, it turns out that if in this world my thoughts and my heart are not davak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're davak to other things, that'll be the same thing in Olam Haba.
Even though you have a goal, I'm doing this for Hashem, but it's not what you're thinking.
So you're asking a different... what you're really asking is, how does Dveikos manifest itself in someone who's not totally shakua in Ruchnius? Good. The answer, I don't know. We're gonna get to it. No, he's gonna discuss that. That's the next piece. Because remember, right now, all we're talking about Dveikus, we haven't discussed the application of it in terms of if a person is working more in the world. But we'll get to it. And that which you're asking is the million-dollar kasha, which is this is all beautiful, all wonderful. And when we think about how to apply these concepts, the first thing that comes to mind is, well, how do I possibly attain Dveikus even in the moments when I am involved in unspiritual matters, not hate, but unspiritual. So we'll get to that in Mirtz Hashem. So he goes on. He says, "Nimtza sheim ba'olam hazem achshavto b'libo lo dvukim makadosh baruch hu el dvar machim king yihya davar mamish b'olam habo va'afim yirtza lios dvuk sham bari olam lo yuchal ki ba'al karachach yeh dvuk b'mash adava b'al mazah." So we'll say, you know, interestingly enough, you know, there are many different mashalim that illustrate this idea about this concept of, you know, that in Olam Haba there is this great Seuda that the tzaddikim partake of, right? But again, the non-tzaddikim stand by the table but are unable to go ahead and sit down and eat. The idea is that your Olam Haba is only as meaningful as you made your Olam Hazeh. So if my Olam Hazeh had an emphasis on Ruchnius, on Dveikus, then ultimately, again, my Olam Haba will be wonderful as well. If in this world, he's saying a very simple thing, and this is not even a punishment, this is just a reality check. If I'm not a person who's really focused on Ruchnius, so the truth is, I might get to Olam Haba because maybe I've done many good things, but the truth is, it's not going to be an exceptionally appealing experience for me, for the simple reason that an eternity of unadulterated spirituality doesn't really interest me all that much. So I might be there, but the truth is, I will not really. My soul will just not fully enjoy that experience. So this is a very important yisod. So meaning, we literally, the only way to have a full Olam Haba is to create the right set of priorities in Olam Hazeh. If Dveikus is something important to me here, then by definition it'll be something that I will enjoy in Olam Haba. If in Olam Hazeh it's not important to me, then in Olam Haba, even when it's there de facto, because it's Olam Haba, I won't appreciate it and I won't enjoy it because it was never a priority for me. Kilomar. Ha'adam lo yochol lechalik es hadvarim. Ba'olam hazeh lo lios davok ba'kadosh baruch hu. Ba'olam haba kein. A person can't split things up and say, you know what, in olam hazeh I'm not focused on the dveikus, but in olam haba I'll be very focused on it. Ela o gam ba'olam hazeh dveikus ba'kadosh baruch hu, v'gam ba'olam haba, o shnehem lo chas v'shalom. A person has to make a choice. Either Dveikus is important in this world and it will be important in the next, or if it's not important in this world, it will not be important in the next. So he writes in the parentheses, Vade sheyesh tikun adam shlom nitzal chayiv karoi ve'ein kai makom laharech. So he says, there are ways, you know, even if a person did not maximize their olam hazeh, there are ways in which a person could still salvage a beautiful olam haba, but he says this is not the place to elaborate on that. Nimtza, sha'al ha'adam lahavim, she'im ba'odo gam kan ba'olam hazeh, who ain't davok babore, so therefore a person must realize that if I am not davok, if I don't have dveikus in this world, behechrich sha'af sham began edim u olam haba, who lo yihye davok babore olam. If I don't have dveikus here, I won't have dveikus there. Imkein lo yihye ma la'asa sham. This is such a cute phrase. And you know what the big problem? The big problem is I'm going to be bored in olam haba. Going to be bored and all. You know, it's interesting. You know, we think that sometimes, like, the worst thing is Gehenim. There's probably something worse than Gehenim, which is, because Gehenim, you know, Gehenim, there's a maximum sentence, right? The Gemara says that Mishpat Rishon beGehenim Yud Beis Chodesh, right? The most you could be in Gehenim is for a year. And after that, you go to Gan Eden. The worst thing Gehenim for a year is spending an eternity in a place where you just have nothing to do. So can you imagine this? That a person for whom Dveikus was not important gets told, I might get told him Haba because I did mitzvahs, I led a good life, I'm a good person, and I'm bored out of my kelim because I just have absolutely, like, what am I doing here? I never create. See, what he's saying over here is the beauty of this world is it's in this world where you create your priorities. It's excuse me. It's in this world where you go ahead and you solidify and you concretize what's important to you. And it's that priority list that you take with you for all eternity. Ala adam lehisboni b'kach rabos. Shuma'abed es hanitzchiyus shelo ayidei kein, ayidei kach, shu einenu davak ba'kodesh baruch hu ba'olam hazeh. Person has to realize that if I don't stress the deikus in this world, it's not just the pshat, it's not just the pshat that I'm losing out on olam hazeh, I'm also losing out on olam haba. Ha'olam haba nikra olam shekula tov. Olam haba is called the world that is all good. Ma'u atov shiyesham. What is the good in olam haba? Kvar kasav haramchal va'ani kirvas elokim kitov litov v'zulas zeh mashi chashvu b'nei adam litov eino ela hevel v'shav nite. Ramchal writes, the only true tov in this world and the next is dveikos, is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everything else, the truth is, they could be important things, they could be nice things, but they're not ultimate good. Hare she'ein tov ela kirvas Hashem. Ve'im adam eino karo v'davak b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein lo shaychos li'olam shekula tov. If a person does not establish dveikos in this world, they'll have no shaychos to olam haba. Ubehechrich bichtei lezakos letov began idim olam haba, lekirvas elekin litov, behechrich sha'af ba'olam hazeh, yichya adam imatov hazeh, im kirvas elekin litov, im divikus ba'kodesh baruch. So we'll say, I think that this is such a life-altering idea, because what he's saying like this is very often, you know, we live with certain cognitive dissonance, you know, and a little bit of like a disconnect, where I want to be a spiritual being, but the truth is, I figure spirituality will be something I have an entire afterlife to enjoy. And what the Mechaber is saying over here is, your Olam Haba is a mirror image of your Olam Hazeh. If your Olam Hazeh was filled with an importance for Ruchni matters, for spiritual matters, for Dveikos Bashem, then your Olam Haba will be meaningful as well. But if in this world, Dveikos, connection, Ruchnius, was not of primary importance, then ultimately, again, I still might go to Olam Haba, but at the end of the day, that Olam Haba experience won't be impactful. Let's do one more paragraph. Mem. He says, Kishem Shebe'inyani Olam Hazeh, B'mischar, Osim Yom B'Shana Sfiras Miloy, V'Sogrim Es Achonus U'Bodkim Ma Machru U'Malo. So both the same way that in business, a person runs a business, they have to take at least one day a year for physical inventory. Right? The person has to close the store, and has to literally take inventory of everything they have. Kein Mamish Tzarech Ha'adam La'asos Im Atzmo. Person also has to do that. I have to take an inventory of myself. He says, "Lo cheshbel nefesh shal reva shah, chatzi shah shah, ela la'atzor es kol mahali chayov, ve'livdo ka'im ani rotze lihios kara v'davrik labori olam olo." Well, so we're not talking about a 15-minute, half hour, or 1 hour cheshbon nefesh, right? We think to ourselves, halavai, I had to have an hour for cheshbon nefesh. Imagine like an hour to take stock. But he says, no, he said, I'm talking about over here, bringing your entire life to a grinding halt, and taking the time to seriously answer the simple question, do I want to be close and do I want to be davak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now remember, Avosai, when you ask that question and you answer that question, so remember again, if the answer is in the affirmative, then that means that the way I live my life has to reflect that. Has to reflect that. Right? You know, so I was just saying over on the parsha, that when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, so he says, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. So there's a beautiful Beis Halevi, and the Beis Halevi says that Yosef was telling his brothers, you're hypocrites, because Yehuda was telling Yosef this entire time, I can't go back without Binyamin, because if I go back without Binyamin, it's going to break my father's heart, it's going to kill him. So Yosef says, you hypocrite, now you care about our father? Right? You didn't care about him 22 years ago when you threw me in the pit and told him that a wild animal. And now you go ahead and now you tell me that you care about him. So the Beis Halevi quotes the Medrash that says that Abba Kohen Bardola says, Oy lanu miyom adin, miyom atochacha. Woe to us from the day of judgment, the day of rebuke. He says, why? Because Yosef was the youngest of all the Shvatim. And yet, when he confronted his brothers with Ani Yosef Ha'odavichai, the brothers were unable to answer him. So what's going to happen after 120 when we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? God's going to ask us questions. We won't be able to answer either. So basically, he says, what does that mean? So basically, he says something amazing. He says that after 120, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset about is not the fact that we sin. That we sin, to a certain degree, it's expected. It's not a license, but it's expected. We're human beings, we're frail, we have weakness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us that way. What can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu stand? What does God have absolutely no divine patience for? Hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. A sinner? Okay, I know what I am. I have to do tshuva. But hypocrisy? that the Ribono Shel Olam has absolutely no patience for. And that's what Abba Kohen Barlow was saying. Yosef rebuked his brothers for their hypocrisy, not for what they did. Not for what they did. You know what? You want to say you made a mistake, you mistreated me, fine. What I can't stand is now you're pretending like you're all concerned about our father. That's hypocritical. Abba Kohen Barlow, after 120, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us. That you sinned, I know you sinned. But did you own your mistakes? Did you fess up to your mistakes? Or were you echad bepev ve'echad balev? Did you believe one thing, say something else? Believe one thing, do something else? Hypocrisy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't deal with. So that's what he's saying over here. If I do Aruch Heshbon HaNefesh, if I really want Kirbas Elokim Devekos, then what that means is, if I answer that question in the affirmative, then my life has to reflect that. And again, we haven't gotten to how my life reflects that yet. But if my life doesn't reflect that, then by definition, it's a shtickel hypocritical, right? Because then I'm saying I want something, but at the end of the day, my life is not actually reflecting it. V'imkein, ha'im ani dorech b'derech shemekareves osila kodesh baruch hu kira mukhashis kenitzkalal. We'll say, you know, if a person says they want to vekus in life, you know, you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself a very difficult question. And what's difficult? I'm about to do something, X, whatever X activity is. And I have to ask myself a simple question. Does this lead me on the path of Dveikus or not? If it does, then I should do it. And if it doesn't, then don't. Then don't, right? The Ramchal writes this also. He says in his beginning chapter of Shar HaZrizus, he says, Zihirus. See, he says that Zihirus means identifying the ultimate good in life. And then once on that ultimate good, every action I have to measure up against that good. Will this action get me closer to my goal or further from my goal? If it gets me closer, do it. If it's further, don't. And this is, you know, if it's not an easy way to live life. Because very often there are things that I ask myself, will this bring me closer to my dveikus or not? And sometimes the answer is not pashut. And those are the difficult moments in life. So he says, O Shema Zederech Shalimut Torah, Besecha Vekiyam Mitzos, Im Ktasis Orus, Aval Kivas Hashem Amitis, Torah Si, Vekiyam Mitzos, In Enemivim Osi, or perhaps a person will say, you know what? Like for me, I'm happy with just learning a little bit, doing some mitzvahs. They might not bring me to a sense of Devekus, but that's okay. Chayovim Latseis Im Hakara Barura, Sherotzim Kirvas Hashem Amitis. We have to emerge with a true recognition that we really want true Kirvas Hashem. Kamaz Man Sheikach La'odaman Sheagi Lakach Sheikach Ulam Sheitzi Im Hakara Verotzim Barsha Kolachayim Ze Kirvas Hashem Devekus Bashem. We'll say, you know what? This is a long process. It's a lifelong process of establishing Kirvas Hashem. But the first thing is answering to myself. The reality is, do I want it? And if I want it, am I willing to make that the guiding light of my life by which I will measure everything I do? Va'azai ato avodoso lechapes ulevarer lo derech berura, keitzar zochin lekirvas Hashem. Now that we answer this in the affirmative, then we could start to begin to do the work and to try to figure out the right path to establish kirvas Hashem. Ulam reishes shiyeh barur shezeh kol pnimiyos ha'adam, kirvas Hashem udveikos bashem. But Rabbi said, everything begins first by asking the simple question, which is not a simple question, do I want udveikos bashem? Do I want kirvas Hashem? And if the answer to that is yes, am I willing to do the hard work necessary to be able to get there? And am I willing to measure up everything I want to do in life against that metric of kirvas Hashem? And accept the fact that if something in life helps me get to a sense of kirvas Hashem, I'll do it. But if not, I'll cease and desist. Assuming that the answer to this question is yes, then we'll begin in Eretz Hashem the next piece, which is actually trying to figure out how we actually forge this Kirvas Hashem and how one could establish a sense of Dveikos even when engaged in seemingly mundane activities. All right, we'll stop over here by Mem Aleph. We'll pick up in Eretz Hashem with this next week.
Charlotte, next week, I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael.
Beautiful.
So should we...